Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best, too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, welcome all the best people I know. That would definitely be you. We are going and growing, and I am just wanting to send the love, gratitude through the airwaves with all of the positive energy for thanking you to making us so successful. And today, Chaney Weiner, oh my goodness, this is the day to get a breakthrough with this expert. I have been talking to him before we went on air, and I'm like, I know people are excited about this show, but I think I might be at the top of the list because we are going to learn some great things. I just wanted to remind you, if you want to get the worry-free updates on the show from BTR, you just mark us as a favorite and follow us, and they'll send them to you automatically. If you want the monthly news report that I give at the beginning of the month, then you go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, and on the right-hand side, there's a green box, and you just enter your email address. Your privacy is of the utmost importance, and I'll send you a list of all of our great guests for the month. So let me tell you about Chaney, and he will take your calls and answer questions 347-637-1318 if you want to speak with him live. But Chaney Weiner, if you don't already know him, is a sought-after authority on human potential and personal development. He's the co-founder of the Chaney Institute of Human Potential, an organization dedicated to empowering people worldwide in all seven areas of life, and those would be financial, physical, family, mental, spiritual, vocational, and social. By helping people discover their hidden brilliance and uniqueness based on what is most important to them, Chaney is also a facilitator of the DeMartini method, which was developed by John DeMartini, which many of you are already aware of. An acknowledged transformational leader and a leading expert on success and raising the human potential, Chaney has inspired millions of people around the world, sharing his breakthrough methods for personal and professional success in the seven different areas of life. His signature Breakthrough to Achieve program, which is trademarked, along with his various course and programs, are the combination of more than 23 years of multidisciplinary study. Chaney is often approached by the media for his inspiring insights and advice. His work has been featured on the Montel Across America and Montel Williams Show, Hollywood Confidential with Lisa Gibbons, Martha Stewart Living Radio, Hay House Radio, and really just too many to list or we'd never get on with the show. He's been on hundreds. You can go to his website and he's just a click away and a call away. Go to Chaney Weiner, WEINER.com. What a privilege and pleasure to have you with us today, Chaney. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm blessed and grateful and thankful for being here.
Well, you know, I really pride myself in having people on the show who walk their talk, who really, you know, there's so many people, that, and you know who they are. They say things, but they don't necessarily do things. And it's easy to talk. It's easy to be, you know, a great speaker. But, you know, having that credibility, having that, you know, those experiences and really knowing things can be done because you've experienced them and you've helped so many other people do that. That's what I love about you. And I love the topic, defining moment and having a breakthrough in your life. And, you know, the first question maybe we could start out with is, what a lot of people think is it's just luck, it's just coincidence, you know, oh, well, they were just lucky, or they just happened to be at the right place at the right time, or, you know, you can't really predict those things. And, you know, I would love to hear what you have to say about that before we even get into the real meat of the show.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up, because just listening to a few of the phrases that you were saying, and you know, it kind of sounds like when I talk to my father sometimes, and we have a good relationship, but he'll bring up things like luck, and then I'll ask him, I said, well, what do you mean by luck? And he'll say, well, it's a matter of being in the right place at the right time. And basically what it is, and what it comes down to, is many people feel that way. They feel others are lucky, or there's certain situations that happen because of luck. And another way to look at luck, in fact, the Roman philosopher Seneca, he said luck is preparation meeting opportunity. And you can look Seneca up, or you can check out Oprah, because she uses that quote as well. She's been quoted a number of times as using that. And basically what it is it's your preparation of the opportunities you want to create or attract in your life is your quote-unquote luck. And when it comes to, since we're talking about defining moments today, or will be, well, I'll get into it here, whatever that moment is for you, it's a result of putting what I like to call the behind-the-scenes time and effort, because many people are not willing to put in the time and effort to do what it takes, but they want the results, whether it's money, relationship, business, whatever it is for them. And if you take a look over the course of history, you'll see this. If you really take the time and check out, because I do this frequently, look at other people's biographies and look at their road to their quote-unquote success, and you'll see it. You'll see they put in the time and effort. If you listen to their interviews, you'll hear it. They'll talk about it. But most people don't see that. They only see what's going on the outside. So these defining moments are a result of doing that, putting in what I also like to call the behind the closed doors, you know, putting in the time and effort behind closed doors. So really what it comes down to is knowing your values, or what's most important to you, what's truly most important to you, not what it should be or what's supposed to be or what it has to be, what's true to you, what you love doing, what you're inspired by. It also involves having a vision and being persistent no matter what comes your way. And I like to say that the universe will test you to see if you're ready for taking on the next stages of your life. So the bottom line is we need both sides. We need the support and challenge, especially the challenge, but in equal amount, to grow. And this is what really ultimately leads to that defining moment that everybody sees that turns things around to a point where their life and their career, whatever it is for them, starts to take off.
Wow, you just said so many things that I'm sure people listening are really like, whoa, that is really powerful. The values, inspiration, having the vision, the persistence. I love how you balance the support with the challenge. I love your idea of, well, is it time for this to happen? Maybe the universe, you know, is going to test me in different ways. I think that's great. But it is wonderful. It is a wonderful idea to look at people who are successful and see, hey, did they plant ifs and whens and then grow nothing? Or did they plant, yes, this will happen, and then grow success? So I think it is reciprocal. And, you know, one of the things you talk about as a defining moment, I think it would be great if you could define what you mean by defining moment for those listening.
So you're asking me what I mean by it, or
yeah,
by in general?
What your definition of that defining moment?
Well, that's obviously it's different for each person, but for me, it's that moment that stands out where you sense and feel that shift that took place. Now, whether something would happen in that exact moment, physically, before your eyes, if it manifests before your eyes, that's one thing, but it's a shift that you sense, that all of a sudden you know, I know something's kind of come about from this. I know I'm heading down the right path, a different path, but I'm just not sure what that is. In fact, let me share my defining moment, because that's a perfect example of it. Growing up, I was involved in sports. I loved playing sports, particularly baseball. That was my game. And I went out for a baseball team in high school. I was 16. It was my sophomore year, my second year in high school. leading up to that, I got involved in fitness. I have a fitness background. I started working out and got myself ready, and I was in really good shape, and I went out for the team. And the tryouts, it was 3 weeks of tryouts, and you needed to make two cuts. If you made the first cut, you were eligible to make the team. If you made the second cut, you made the team. So I made the first one, and I was doing really good. In fact, probably better than I had ever done playing physical condition-wise and everything. I mean, I was doing really well. Second cut comes around, the coach is reading off the names, and, you know, the names of the kids who didn't make the team, he's reading one after another. He doesn't read my name. He stops. And, wow, I made it because I knew I was going to make it. And then he read my name off and cut me. I didn't make it. But here's what happened. Right after he read off my name, he paid me a compliment that still stuck with me to this day. He said, "You have more guts than anyone I've ever seen." He says, "If you come out for the team next year, you'll make the team." Now, at that moment, I was first thinking, great, so how come you didn't not cut me and have me make it this year?
Yeah, that would have been my question.
So that was the first thing that was going through my mind. The second thing that was going through my mind, and this was all within maybe a minute, was, this was the football coach. He had his favorites. I wasn't one of his favorites. There were a bunch of kids who were there who I knew. I was 16 at the time, so I knew a lot of these kids since I was 10, about 6 years. Some of them used to make fun of me, not pick on me, but kind of like make fun of me. And just this was the type of coach who didn't usually say that type of thing, especially to someone who he didn't have, who was one of his favorites. So I sensed that something shifted as a result of that. And the interesting thing is, I never went out for the team. In fact, I stopped playing after that. And as time went on, I just kept going back to that moment and thinking, something came about out of it. And as time really went on, I started to see it more and more. Had I made that team or had I gone out for it the next year, certainly had I made it, my whole path would have changed. I most likely would have gone down the baseball path, probably would have played. How well and how far I would have gone, anything is possible, but I most likely wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. And now that I teach what I teach, helping people really live inspiring lives, having breakthroughs, I can understand more of what took place as a result of that, and I really love to pass that on to other people. So whatever the defining moment is for you, it may not be one that's going to result in a quote-unquote positive result. Now, mine, at the time, I was a little bit upset. It didn't run my life to a point where, oh my God, I had all this baggage, but the point is I sensed that something came about from it, and it did. And if it wasn't for that, and that comment, particularly the comment, how it was said, where it was said, it sent me down a whole different path. So for me, that was a big moment, and it triggered off other moments that took place after that. I got more social. I kind of broke out of my shell after that. Had I kept playing, I most likely wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. So I want to thank him. I want to find him and tell him thank you, even though he probably doesn't remember.
That is such a great story, and I love personal examples because it helps bridge people listening to, you know, what you're saying, and they can apply it in their own life. So what I find is fascinating is that it wasn't really something that you were thinking, well, you thought what you wanted and what you needed were the same thing, but really what you needed was to have that event change you to go on to doing what you're doing today. So, you know, I love that idea of thinking, hey, maybe just because we think we didn't get what we wanted, maybe we did, but sometimes we don't know right away. Sometimes it's hindsight. So if somebody's listening right now and they're saying, you know what, I feel this passion, this enthusiasm that I have to do something in my life, or I feel that, you know what Chaney just said, that's me. I thought, you know, I wanted to win this or get that job or marry that person or live in this place. It didn't turn out, and it's sort of like, thank God for those unanswered prayers because they really were answered in sort of a twist and a turn that we can't really understand at the time. But if somebody feels really positively and emotionally charged right now, you know, how would you tell them to follow through in handling that emotion or that intuitive pull that they're having right now to do something?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And as funny as this may sound, a lot of people may not understand some of what I'm going to say, but in a sense can relate to it, because many times people, and this can be if someone gets into a new relationship, because again, that defining moment could be getting into a relationship with someone. It could be, I'm going to give the example of winning the lottery, because that will really illustrate what I'm going to say. Or it could be just anything that has that's coming your way. Of course, it could be a defining moment as well, but something that comes your way that's above your normal functioning in a positive way, something that is bigger than you've ever had before, let's just say, people will typically get very up, very elated. Some people get cocky. Some people develop a quote-unquote ego, and they'll end up being in a manic state, a high state, so to speak. And the way the universe works is anytime someone gets way, way, way up, they will attract something at some point in time to balance or neutralize that out. I mentioned the lottery. People who win the lottery, about 95% of them, they go back to where they were financially within 3 years, and in most cases, even worse than that. And the reason for it is because they weren't able to manage their emotions. They got really up. And anytime you get really, really up, you have a tendency to get distracted. You do foolish things. If it's money, you'll just do foolish things. All of a sudden, you'll start attracting people to you who will want to do business deals with you, and you'll give them money. You'll claim they ripped you off if, you know, you don't get your money back, that type of thing. But if that big situation comes your way and you know how to handle it, you know how to be poised, you know how to ask the right questions to bring down that emotion, then you're able to manage it, and you won't have that weird stuff come into your life. And again, this could be in any area of your life, because many times people will look at it from a, oh, well, if they get really negative, what can I do to get way more positive? Well, the human mind and humans in general are not designed to be more happy than sad, more positive than negative, or more negative than positive, or more sad than happy. We're both. We filter it through our values. So anytime something that comes in that is really, really, really positive, you just want to ask certain questions and say, okay, am I now ready for both the pain, the pleasure, and pain? What are the new accountabilities? What are the new responsibilities? Because unless you're aware of that, you won't be able to manage it, and you'll attract that weird stuff that comes in that you just can't understand and explain. Because many times people will attribute the negative stuff to just being negative. If you really take the time and trace it out, it stems from a high and possibly an unrealistic expectation of something that you didn't calm down. So if that defining moment or whatever it is for you is really positive, just ask those questions. What are the new accountabilities, the new responsibilities, what are the pains and pleasures, the supports and challenges, and you'll be much more poised and ready to take that on without having that strange stuff come into your life.
You know, and that is really fascinating, isn't it? I'm always amazed at the statistics. Just like you said, people win the lottery. That's such a great example. And then they go back to or worse than what they were before. And I'm like, what is up with that? You know, it's like this invisible line that seems to, you know, have a hook at the end of it. You know, there's a lot of research with happiness set point. You know, that 40% of that is just genetic. Yet so many people can have control over what they do to raise that happiness set point with being grateful and so many other tips and tools that you can provide. But I want to focus on this holding on to those past pains, because I think that that's really important. And I'm sure somebody listening is saying, okay, I'm agreeing with Chaney. I am agreeing with everything that he said. But now, how do I let go of those past pains that I'm carrying around that maybe, you know, maybe that emotional baggage is what that invisible hook is that drags them back? You know, on a conscious level, if somebody's listening and says, I want to step into my greatness, I want to be living in that defining moment, having that breakthrough that Chaney's talking about, but I just don't know how to get rid of that depression or that past pain, or somebody's really hurt me, they've stolen my money, they've divorced me, they've, you know, done whatever. Help us with that, you know, carry us through with the system that's been so successful that you've worked with people, because this, I think, is really important.
Well, William James, the father of psychology, said human beings can alter their lives by altering their perceptions and attitudes and minds. So it's never about what happens to you. It's how you perceive it and what actions you take from it and how you act from it. So it's all based on perception, because you can have one event and one person can just quote unquote scar them for life, and then you have nine other people will look at it differently. So it's all based on perception. So in terms of these holding on to these past pains and what someone can do, here's a question I want everyone listening to ask, think about, and then answer. If you were able to go back and start your life over from the time you were born, and you knew that everything would happen the same exact way again, question is, would you go through it again? And it's very interesting when I ask this question, because I start to see, let's just say, certain things come out in people when they answer it, because sometimes people will say, oh God, I would change everything. Sometimes they say, I would just change one thing. And very few people say, I wouldn't change anything. And you don't want to change anything, because here's the thing. If you were to go back, let's say someone, you perceive someone as doing whatever it is to you 5 years ago, whatever that moment was for you, even if you were to physically go back in time and to change that moment, yeah, you may be able to change that moment, but what would be the ripple effect? What would happen in the other areas of life? Because the chances are something else would happen that would be undesirable. So you don't want to go back and change that moment if you could. You want to be grateful for that moment. Now, since we can't physically go back in time, we can do it perceptually through our minds. So people have that mind chatter and the regret, I wish I could change this, or you know, I wish I can clear out that emotional baggage. Well, you can go back to that point in time perceptually in your mind, and instead of looking at that quote-unquote bad situation that's having more negatives than positives, go back and look, well, what were the benefits? So if somebody criticized you or did something to you that really emotionally charged you, and something that you may be holding on for 10 years, it could be 5 years, whatever it is, go back and ask, well, what were the benefits? And you could also ask, well, if things had gone the way I would have wanted them to go, what would have been the drawbacks? And these are questions that a lot of people won't ask and confront, because we've been taught not to, in essence. And that's some of the questions that I have people ask when it comes to holding on to the past pains, because a lot of people are in states of forgiveness and things along that nature. And I know this may ruffle a lot of people's feathers, but anytime someone's in a state of forgiveness, they still have some type of emotional charge on it, and they'll deny it. They say they won't. I've worked with enough people who want to want to forgive. And then when I start asking these questions, they even dissolve the need to forgive, and they're thankful and they're grateful for what took place. They see the equal balance, or the divine perfection, as I like to say. So anyone listening, if you've had those past pains, look for the benefits of that particular situation, and they're there. It's just a matter of finding them, and it's amazing what happens and the transformation you get when you ask those types of questions and then come up with the answers.
Mm. And, you know, I think this is why you're so successful in the people you work with. I personally think the best coaches are the ones that know how to ask the best questions, because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Your best thinking, you know, it's true, isn't it? You just don't know what you don't know. Your best thinking gets you here. Your best thinking isn't going to get you out of here. So a great coach is going to take your mind and put you on a different planet, a new way of thinking. So in that new way of thinking, taking that transportation vehicle, it's always asking that question. Because if it's a new question that we've never even considered, you know, it really can take us to a whole new way of thinking. And we know that thoughts, feelings, and behavior or actions are connected. You cannot separate them. If you have a thought, I mean, the old one that I always use, the lemon. Okay, don't bite into that lemon. And everybody feels the saliva in their mouth, right? But don't bite into that lemon. And it's like, you can't help it. Your mind will think of biting into that sour lemon. And that creates a physical response and then an emotional feeling. And, you know, it really is something that is so super powerful. I love how you talk about asking those questions, those benefits. Sometimes, yeah, go ahead.
Here's a great story with this. I had a woman who was in my Breakthrough to Achieve program, and she came to me originally it was a weight issue, but she had some other emotional charges. Well, one of them happened to be she has a master's degree from Harvard University in education, and she applied to the PhD program at Harvard, and she got rejected. And that was bothering her. Now, to most people, that may not bother them, but she had an emotional charge on it, and it was bothering her. So I had to go back to that moment when she perceived the rejection. I asked her, I said, well, in that moment that you got the notice and you found out that you were rejected, I said, who's accepting you? And this is someone with a master's from Harvard, and she was going, all right. So she gave me a whole bunch of answers, and then when she gave me the answers, I said, was that in the same moment or was that a few days later? She says, no, I thought about it a few days later. I said, go back to the same exact moment. And she says, I got to think about that one. Then she came up with some answers. Her PhD advisor, her friends at Harvard, her family, she was from Thailand, her friends in the Thai community at Harvard. She just started coming up with all these different people and groups of people who were accepting her in the same moment that she got, in her mind, rejected. What did that do? That allowed her to clear out potential emotional baggage, because she in essence had an infatuation with the Harvard PhD program, because she said afterwards, she said, you know something? She said, you know, I'm probably feeling that way because it's Harvard, but, you know, if it was somewhere else, it probably wouldn't have bothered me as much. So it's just these little types of things that make a big difference. And like I said, it helped her clear out what potentially could have been something that could have weighed her down for years.
And, you know, it's so true. I mean, those small hinges open those big doors, and you can't walk through a door until it's opened, and you need that little hinge to do it. So I think that you getting back into that, you know, that example with Harvard, I love that. And this is where I really feel if you're listening and you have a practical situation right now, you know, the real meat and potatoes of living, the business of living, and you need some help, this is what Chaney does. So but before we go to the next question, I just want to make sure people know how to connect with you. Can you just give them your website, your email address, and if somebody wants to really, you know, get into your programs and so forth, how they can make that happen?
Yeah, it's www.chaneyweiner.com. That's chaneyweiner.com. And in terms of getting into any of my programs, as we speak, I'm literally in the process of putting up 4 new CDs, a coaching program, and a financial freedom program is going up as well. So if someone's interested, they can contact me through the site, and I'll give you more information that way. But that's all going to be going up within the next couple of weeks. So I just want to keep everybody in the loop and updated on that.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to get back to this negative thinking, though, because, you know, I truly believe that those demons of doubt, we have got to dump that junk. And for somebody, you know, all these little phrases that I'm, like, thinking of, yeah, dump those demons of doubt. But for someone who has an acceptance and maybe an awareness listening to you, especially with the example you just gave from the Harvard Graduate School. I love that example. And somebody wants to, you know, get rid of that negative association, okay? They know that there's a negative thought that maybe they wouldn't be accepted or the fear of failure, whatever it is. How do you help someone, can you just explain a little bit further how you work with someone to help them replace that negative with that positive? Because sometimes, Chaney, I think, you know, the 2020 hindsight, you know, that's easy. But if somebody's in the middle of something that, as you call it, emotionally charged for them, walk us through that.
Well, this is going to sound shocking. And that is, you don't want to get rid of negative thinking. A lot of people are out there saying, we're going to eliminate negative thinking, get rid of negative thinking. You don't. Number one, you don't want to get rid of it. Number two, you're not going to get rid of it. And here's why. Negative thinking serves a purpose. And its purpose is to guide you, to wake you up to your true self. Because many times people are setting unrealistic expectations on themselves, on others, on the universe, and they will have a tendency to have fantasies of the way life is supposed to be. And along with that, they're not living according to their true values. They've injected the values of other people and trying to live according to what's important to someone else instead of themselves. So what this amounts to is something like someone will set a goal and they won't reach the goal because it's not even their goal, and then they'll get the negative thoughts will come in. And don't take my word for it. Take the time. Anytime you have negative thoughts come in, especially the ones that are really negative that keep coming up, trace it out, and you'll see that in all likelihood you're not setting goals and not living according to your values. So the negative thinking is there to act as a feedback system and a guide to get you to set realistic goals that are true to you. It's there to get you to, like I said, be your authentic self. And it serves a purpose. And when those thoughts come in, you want to be aware of that. Instead of trying to get rid of them, they're there to guide you. Now, if you're aware of this, you'll know that. If you're not aware of it, you'll try to get rid of the negative thoughts, try to live more positive, try to be more happy, and all that does is it's going to kick you back to the very thing that you don't want it to, and then the cycle repeats. A lot of people are afraid of negative thoughts or sadness. They're both needed. So when you learn how to use them and how they serve you with your mission, with your goals, with your vision, it's very easy to, I wouldn't say replace them so much. It's a way. You want to use them to help you. And in terms of the negative thoughts, like I said, they're there to guide you. And take the time and do this for yourself, and you'll see it. I can tell you right now, I've done it with me, and I've done it with many people who I've coached and helped, and you'll see it every time. You want to be true to yourself, and you want to set realistic expectations. You want to stretch yourself and have big goals, but at the same time, make sure that they're your goals according to your values, according to what's most important to you. And one other way that you'll know is if you're living your life saying, I love to, I'm inspired to, I'm blessed, this is what I've always dreamed of, you know you're on the right path. If you're saying, I've got to do this, I should do this, I'm supposed to do this, I ought to do this, that's a clear sign that you're not living according to what's true to you. It's most likely what's true to somebody else that you thought was true for you. So keep that in mind and use those negative thoughts to guide you on your purpose.
You know, talk about a new way of thinking. Negative thoughts are not necessarily bad. They serve a purpose. What a new way of thinking that is. Talk about getting a drive-through breakthrough. Now we can just absolutely all say that we've had one. And I love that, Chaney, because so many people that I speak with, and I've had a lot of guests talking about the law of attraction, and, you know, I certainly do believe that we, you know, thoughts and all of this, it's really important, but so many people can get stuck in the muck feeling like there's something wrong with them that they can't eliminate a certain thought or a certain feeling. Like, what's wrong with me that I just can't get rid of this? Or somebody else can do it, or everybody else can do it, or their perception that somebody else is the perfect, you know, law of attraction person or the perfect breakthrough person or whatever it is. You know, we all have that person in our life that we think has it together, you know, so perfectly. But that practical test that we can all do, Your words are telling you something, and there's a reason why those two ears are there on either side of your head. Because if it's what Chaney's saying is, if you're saying I should do this, I've got to do this, or you know, those heavy things, those are signals that you need to go on a different path. But oh, I would love to do this, or I would be so inspired to accomplish that. Those are things that you need to do. That's your one-of-a-kind shine that the world needs to see. And that's something that, you know, is a great example, Chaney. I love that. And, you know, this whole somebody else is perfect, or somebody else, you know, has it all together, or somebody saying, well, no one's perfect, or this law of attraction, we conundrumed, you know, that a lot of people get into. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because I think a lot of people can relate to this, you know, those catchphrases, well, no one's perfect, or the law of attraction, you know, just think it and it'll happen. You know, if I sit in my car long enough and start thinking about being a car, I'll turn into one. You know, it gets back to that unrealistic expectation idea that you brought up, but I'd really love to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, the first thing I want to say piggybacks on what you said about 2 minutes ago when you said about we all have two ears. Well, every one of us has two eyes. And whatever you see with those eyes in someone else, you have in yourself. So if you're looking at someone else, not you per se, but for those listening, if there's someone who you're looking at and you admire and you have them on a pedestal and saying, oh, God, I would love to have their financial wealth, I would love to have the body, I would love to be beautiful like them. Guess what? If you're saying it about somebody else, you have it in you. The question is, in what form? And this ties right into what I want to mention about this, what I'm calling perpetuated myth that people are not perfect. And I'm going to state it rather boldly right now, that everybody is perfect, and I'm going to explain why. You see, people who say that they're not perfect or no one else is perfect, what they mean by that is that people, in order to be perfect, have to be one-sided. They always have to be happy and not sad, or more happy than sad, more nice than mean, more kind than cruel, more of the positive side than the negative side. And guess what? Every human being has both sides equally. So when the other half shows up, and their fantasy is shattered, that's when you'll hear someone say, oh, well, nobody is perfect. Well, the perfection is you have moments of happiness, you have moments of sadness, you have moments of being nice, you have moments of being mean. Sometimes you're kind, sometimes you're cruel. And if you really took the time and tracked it over your whole life, you would see for the most part it's pretty well balanced. And that's the perfection. The perfection is you have both sides, and they serve a purpose, because if you didn't have if these traits are in existence, they serve a purpose. And even the ones that you may not even like about yourself, they serve a purpose. That's the perfection. You have both sides. And it's, you know, of all the things that I speak about, this what we're talking about here is certainly one of the top two. This may even be the top one that a lot of people have a tough time with, and some people even get emotionally charged over it. Because the bottom line is, you want to live a life of fulfillment and not half-fulfillment. And many people are striving, like Buddha says, striving for that which is unattainable is the source of human suffering. People are searching for that one-sidedness. And when they don't get the one-sidedness, they'll say, I'm not perfect, no one's perfect. And that's not true. So I don't know if I'm the first person on your show to go on record as saying this, but I am going to go on record as saying it, because everybody deserves to realize the magnificence and brilliance of who they are. And arguing for their own limitations, or arguing for the limitations of others by saying, I'm not perfect. Now, some people can say, well, Chaney's spinning it. You can call it what you want. But if you really, like I said, you'll see in your life you have both sides. And you said something before about looking back and then realizing it later on. Well, why wait 5 years or 3 years to really look back and say, hey, you know, what I'm doing now in the moment is really serving a purpose? Even if it's a moment that you may have a down moment, which we all have, and you may have done something that you didn't like towards someone else, but you know what? It served them and it served you. And when you look for the blessings in that, and how you can all learn from that and be grateful, you move on. And that's really what it's all about.
You know, and I'm telling you, I guarantee you there are so many other people right now along with me who are just feeling that peace and serenity. I mean, talk about that. Just feels so good to hear you say that. Yes, you know, that serves a purpose. And that contrast sometimes is what really brings out the brilliance, isn't it? I mean, if somebody really wants to show off a red dress they just got, they want to be standing in front of something that is, you know, black or white. A real contrast, not red, because they just blend in, you know. And even the day, if we think of nature, there's a night and there's a daylight, you know. And both of those
fall
things,
and winter.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still a tree, whether it has leaves on it or, you know, it looks like it's dead in the winter. It comes back, and that is part of that process, you know. And I think that. We, you know, nobody wants pain, but pain can serve a purpose too if it keeps you from going out in front of a car, if it keeps your child's hand off the stove, you know, and I think that to me, you're really getting us to consider a new way of thinking about what we typically define as negative or not serving a purpose. And that right there gets us unstuck, doesn't it?
Yeah, in fact, it's really interesting. I'm sure you heard of Norman Vincent Peale, Zig
Ziglar.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
love him.
Norman Vincent Peale, I don't know if he was considered the father of positive thinking, but he was in that positive thinking movement. He actually came out before he passed away, and he actually said that, you know, I'm one of the most negative thinking people out there, and people were shocked when he said it. He realized that he had both sides, and Zig Ziglar didn't say it like that, but he pretty much said that, you know, trying to be positive all the time, it basically ruined his marriage, his relationships, and all that type of thing. And these are people who were speaking about that. So this is, you know, what it is, a lot of people are addicted to the one side, and they always want the one side, the positive. And I'm not telling people to go around and be negative, because you couldn't do that either, but just understand you have both. And when you learn how to use both to help you and to serve others, you realize, hey, you know, it's not so quote-unquote bad. In fact, those people who are the true, most authentic out there won't have a problem with being that way. And, you know, they're not going to go around on purpose and be mean and cruel to people, but you know what? They'll be better prepared, and they'll go, hey, you know, I have both sides. They serve a purpose. Other people have both sides. I'm aware of that, and they're not looking for one-sided fantasies. And that's really, like I said, that's really what it comes down to, and it's important for people to know that and for everyone to be aware of that.
I love it. I love it. Well, I tell you, I know speaking to you has given me so many new ideas, and so, you know, I just, the hope and the inspiration that you provide, I can see why you've been on, you know, so many hundreds radio shows, television shows, and the work that you're doing, just can't thank you enough for being a blessing and helping us step into our greatness and be the best person that we were created to be. Because, you know, it really is an unselfish thing to be our best. When, you know, if you're your best in your family, if you're your best at work, if you're your best, you know, in anything that you're doing, everybody else around you benefits from that. So there's, you know, there's nothing selfish about trying to live your God-given design, plan, purpose. And I'm sure that Chaney has given you some new perspective. I know he has for me. And if you want to connect with him, which I know you do, you want to go to his website, ChaneyWeiner.com, and he has so many great services and programs, and you know, you just work with so many people. You have so many great testimonials. I just love what you're doing, Chaney, and can't thank you enough for being with us today, because I know you're super busy. But is there a final thought that you want to give to people?
Yeah, I was just actually thinking about what you were saying, and I want everyone. Well, what I'm going to say, it really stems off that. Usually I would say something else, but this just came to mind. For everyone listening, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing right now, just understand that what you're doing is serving humanity in ways that you may not be aware of. You know, you may be at a job that you don't like, or you're doing something that you don't like, but if you take the time to consider that everything that you do, it has a ripple effect, and and it really stretches across the world in many ways, it's pretty inspiring to realize that you are making a difference in the world, even though it may not be something that you really like doing right now. And if you're in that situation, just always ask the question, how is whatever I'm doing during the course of my day serving me on my mission, my vision, and what I would love to be, do, and have in my life? Because when you come from that perspective, you get more inspired about everything that you do, whether it's your job or taking a shower or whatever it is, and that goes a long way in you realizing the magnificence and brilliance of who you are and what you're here to do.
You are awesome. Well, listen, you're definitely – I'm glad you didn't get into that sports career that you wanted, because you wouldn't be here with us helping all of us today. You are awesome. You're in the Best People We Know Club, and I can hear the little BTR lady saying we're out of time, but connect with Chaney Weiner. Remember, in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, to be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Go out and make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.